It wasn't a right hook, Paul said. It was a bomb. Rake's head jerked like he'd been shot. He felt like a bag of cement. Knocked him out? Cold. Coach Upchurch rushed forward, yelling, cussing, like he was going to finish me off, Neely said. I couldn't see. There was blood all over my face. Silo stepped up and grabbed Upchurch by the throat with both hands, Paul said. He lifted him up, threw him against the wall, said he'd kill him right there if he made another move. Rake was dead on the floor. Snake Thomas and Rabbit and one of the trainers were squatting beside him. It was chaos for a few seconds. Then Silo threw Upchurch to the floor, told all of them to get out of the locker room. Thomas said something and Silo kicked him in the ass. They dragged Rake out of the room and we locked the door. For some reason I was crying and I couldn't stop, Neely said. Mallet stopped eating. All three were staring straight ahead at the little lady by the stove. We found some ice, Paul continued. Neely said his hand was broken. His nose was bleeding like crazy. He was delirious. Silo was screaming at the team. It was a pretty wild scene. Mal slurped down some coffee, then tore off a piece of a biscuit, which he dragged through his plate as if he might eat it, or he might not. Neely was lying on the floor, ice on his nose, ice on his hand, blood running down his ears. We hated Rake like no man had ever been hated. We wanted to kill somebody, and those poor boys from East Pike were the nearest targets. After a long pause, Neely said, Silo knelt beside me and yelled, "Get your ass up, Mr. All-American. We gotta score 5 touchdowns." When Neely got up, we stormed out of the locker room. Rabbit poked his head out of a door, and the last thing I heard was Silo yelling at him, "Keep those sumbitches away from our sideline." Hindu threw a bloody towel at him, Neely said, still softly. Late in the fourth quarter, Neely and Silo got the team together by the bench and told us that after the game we were running back to the locker room, locking the door, and not coming out until the crowd was gone. And we did. We waited in there for a long time, Neely said. It took us an hour just to settle down. The door opened behind them as one group of locals left while another one trooped in. "And y'all never talked about it?" Mal asked. "No, we agreed to bury it," Neely said. "Until now?" "I guess. Rake's dead. Doesn't matter anymore." "Why was it such a secret?" "We were afraid there'd be trouble," Paul said. "We hated Rake, but he was still Rake. He'd punched a player, and not just anybody. Neely's nose was still bleeding after the game." "And we were so emotional," Neely said. "I think all 50 of us were crying when the game was over. We just pulled off a miracle against impossible odds with no coaches, nothing but sheer guts. Just a bunch of kids who'd survived under enormous pressure. We decided it would be our secret." Silo went around the room, looked at every player in the eyes, and demanded a vow of silence. "Said he'd kill anyone who ever told," Paul said with a chuckle. Mal skillfully poured a pint of molasses over his next target. "That's a good story," he said. "I figured as much." Paul said the odd part is that the coaches never talked about it either. Rabbit kept his mouth shut. Total silence. "Chomp, chomp, chomp, then. Well, we sort of figured it out," Mal said. "Knew something bad happened at halftime. Neely couldn't pass. Then word leaked that he was wearing a cast the next week at school. Figured he hit something. Figured it might have been Rake. Lots of rumors over the years, which, as you know, ain't hard to find in Messina." "I've never heard anyone talk about it," Paul said. A pull on the coffee. Neither Neely nor Paul were eating or drinking. "Remember that Tugdale kid from out near Black Rock, a year or two behind you boys?" "Andy Tugdale," Neely said. 140-pound guard, mean as a yard dog." "That's him. We picked him up a few years ago for beating his wife. Had him in jail for a few weeks. I played cards with him. Something I always do when we get one of Rake's boys in. I give him a special cell, better food, weekend passes. Ah, the perks of brotherhood," Paul said. "Something like that. You'll appreciate it when I arrest your little banker's ass. Anyway, we were talking one day, and I asked Tugdale what happened at halftime during the 87 title game. Clammed up, tight as a tick, not a word. I said I knew there'd been a fight of some sort. Not a word. I waited a few days, tried again. He finally said that Silo had kicked the coaches out of the locker room, told them to stay away from the sideline. Said there'd been a rather serious disagreement between Rake and Neely. I asked him what Neely had hit to break his hand. A wall? A locker? A chalkboard? None of the above. Somebody else? Bingo. But he wouldn't say who. That's great police work, Mal, Paul said. I might just vote for you next time. Can we leave? Neely said. I don't like this story. They rode in silence for half an hour, still flying with all lights on. Mal appeared to doze occasionally as his ponderous breakfast got digested. I'll be happy to drive, Neely said, after the car eased onto the gravel shoulder and flung rocks for half a mile. Can't. It's illegal, Mal grunted, suddenly wide awake. 5 minutes later, he was fading again. Neely decided conversation might keep him awake. Did you bust Jesse? Neely asked as he tightened his seatbelt. No, state boys got him. Mal shifted his weight and reached for a cigarette. There was a story to tell, so he limbered up. They kicked him off the team at Miami, out of school, barely got out with no jail time, and before long he was back here. Poor guy was hooked on the stuff and couldn't shake it. His family tried everything. Rehab, lockdowns, counselors, all that crap. Broke him. Hell, it killed his father. The Trapp family once owned 2,000 acres of the best farmland around here. Now it's all gone. His poor mama lives in that big house with the roof crumbling